So the question, is it scary how endless, beginningless, it's scary how endless / beginningless greed, hatred, and delusion are? What do I do with how do I meet it? Uncontrollable cyclic patterns of behavior. It's scary how endless the beginning and beginningless greed, hatred, and delusion are. What do I do with the uncontrollable cyclic patterns of behavior? How do I meet it? It's a great question. So I'd love to ask you, what do you think? And so I'll also comment. You know, my very beloved teacher, Thongpulu Siado, is a Burmese forest monk, and he used to always emphasize the importance of mindfulness. And he would have these beautiful refrains again and again. He did a translation of the Foundations of Mindfulness. And he would give this reframe for each of our five senses and the mind. And the refrain was that if you know that, and know is K-N-O-W, if you know that greed is arising in the eyes, you're gaining knowledge. If you don't know, you're accumulating ignorance. If you are aware that hatred is arising in what you see, you're gaining knowledge. If you don't know, you'll be accumulating ignorance. If you know that there's ignorance, unawareness arising in what you see, you're gaining knowledge. If you don't know, you're accumulating ignorance. So he did this reframe with greed, hatred, and ignorance with every one of our sense organs as well as the mind. And it's a beautiful teaching about knowing, about awareness, that even if you know that greed or hatred or ignorance is arising, that is knowledge. If you don't know, that is building the ignorance. The Siado used to have a very beautiful, very short definition of what's called paticca samuppada, or these dependent origination. And dependent origination are these 12 different links, like when this happens, that happens, when that happens, this happens. It's the causal wheel, if you will, of how suffering occurs. And what he would say about it is that if you know, it will break. If you don't know, you will go around and around. It's a very beautiful teaching. If you know whatever's arising, and there's some reactions, grasping, so forth, reacting, if you know it, you can begin to break the cycle. If you don't know, you go around and around. And so my offer to you who wrote it is, may we grow with knowing, that knowing will bring us knowledge. And if we don't know, that will bring us the turning of the wheel of more suffering. And I think that's good enough.
Not only is it good enough, but it's good enough that I don't have to add anything. Say anything more. Let's see, I probably need to have it louder for me, right? My voice, is that... No, that's the other way. Is that better for me? So, we'll try to keep it up and down according to our voice volume. So, the question that I have here is, what is the difference between right view and self view? And then, this, I don't know if it's part of the question or part of the signature, but there's a happy face. And so I kind of chose this question because the topic kind of warms my heart, and the idea of compassion comes to the forefront with this kind of question. So it's a little bit tricky to answer because you have to know what we mean by these terms. Right view is a little bit easier because it's a Buddhist term, and so I can answer it from a Buddhist point of view. And there's two things that, well, first, right view in Buddhism is synonymous with liberating view, a view that's free, that somehow frees us. And maybe much like how Bob said, that just a knowing, that in itself is kind of freeing, it brings knowledge. But the right view is a liberating view, and there's two kinds of view which are considered this liberating view, or right view, in the ancient teachings of the Buddha. And one has to do with the Four Noble Truths, where the orientation is to be sensitive to suffering in whatever form it takes. And the kind of the bumper sticker for Buddhists is, I stop for suffering. Because suffering is something to know, to bring knowledge to understand, to see, to stop and be aware of. Not to suffer better, but to not suffer, to find a way out of the suffering of it. And so to be sensitive to it and then see the underlying condition, underlying cause that brings it about. And the one that they point to as particularly useful is to notice thirst, the addictive or the drivenness, the compulsive kind of desires that can arise. And closely connected to most compulsive desires that bring on suffering, closely connected to suffering is compulsive desires. So right view is the view to be able to see how this operates. And what it requires is it requires a willingness and the wisdom to know when to do this, of turning towards oneself to see where is the compulsive drivenness, compulsive desires in me that's responsible for this suffering. There are other things which are responsible for suffering as well, things in the world, and you know, things can happen out there. And it's not to belittle or to deny that conditions in the world bring on suffering as well. But for the purposes of liberation, we have to kind of be willing to, at the right time when we feel it's appropriate, to turn around and really see what's in our hearts and to see the kind of driven desires, the compulsive desires, and how they operate and how they tighten us up or contract us or constrict us in such a way to cause us suffering. Right. Then the other says that self-view is a little more complicated to understand what that might mean. In the Buddhist vocabulary, view is always a doctrine. It's a kind of a story or an idea that we impose on things. And the Buddha said that all self-views bring suffering. Any way in which you define and limit who you are as a self, the Buddha claimed, sooner or later is going to run into the limitation of that view of that thing. And so part of what Buddhism is doing is freeing us from self-view, from self, the doctrines of self, the ideas of self that we kind of get caught in. But self-view can also mean self-regard. And Buddhism puts tremendous emphasis on regarding oneself with kindness and compassion and care, with nobility. The Buddhism has a lot to do about self-regard, turning the attention towards this being here, to myself, because you're important, because it's valuable what happens to you, and that your nobility, your dignity, your movement towards freedom to a full life of purpose is something that's very valuable. And to regard oneself with respect, to regard oneself with compassion, with kindness, is part of the path and part of what's important. And the right view hopefully brings the compassion. I said there was two kinds of right view. The other kind of right view is seeing the incredible way in which the things are arising and passing, the impermanence of our life. And seeing impermanence of life brings about two things. One, it helps to realize it doesn't make sense to grip it, to hold on, or to resist the change too much. There's something about learning how to flow in the flow of impermanence, which is part of the movement towards freedom. The other thing that seeing impermanence does, it helps us appreciate the preciousness of this life, the preciousness of our experience, the delicacy, delicacy of it. And so as we begin appreciating having right view, suffering, freedom from suffering, understanding craving, stepping out of the grip of craving, as we understand the preciousness of this impermanent life, then when the heart's open, I think it's natural to have regard self and others with care, respect, and with compassion. So to have self-regard instead of self-view is the Buddhist kind of approach. So I hope that wasn't too complicated, but if you need to remember anything of all that that I said, it's have compassion for yourself. So thank you all. So we have half an hour now.